Wisconsin's August partisan primary is just 2 weeks away, and we at Wisconsin Public Radio are working to get you acquainted with all of the candidates running for state legislative seats from Western Wisconsin. We're in our second week of a 15-week series of candidate forums with the people looking to represent you in Madison. This hour, we're focusing on the 87th State Assembly District, which includes most of Sawyer, Rusk, Taylor counties, along with parts of Clark and Marathon counties. It's a seat that has been held by a retiring Republican Representative Mary Williams since 2002 and is now being contested by five candidates. But first, four Republicans must face off August 12th in the primary, and we welcome them this hour to the Westside 87th State Assembly Primary Candidate Forum. I'm Rich Kramer, and I'd like to introduce our candidates in alphabetical order. We've got a full house, so we're going to get through it, the names and the introductions as quickly as possible so we can free up the rest of the hour for questions. First, Michael Bubb. Michael Bubb is a former president of the Medford School District and is currently serving on the Medford City Council. Michael Bubb, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Rich, for having me here today.
Our pleasure. And with all these candidates, there's much more to their bios. You'll have to seek out their campaigns individually to learn more. But for the sake of time, we're going to be brief. Next, James Edming is a small business owner who has served with the Rusk County Board of Supervisors and currently sits on the Rusk County Hospital Board. He also goes by the nickname Jimmy Boy, so that's what we'll be calling him this hour. James, Jimmy Boy Edming, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate you having me here.
Our pleasure. On the phone joining us from Hayward is Cheryl Labar. She's a small business owner living in Hayward. She's served on the Hayward School Board and is the executive officer of the Northland Area Builders Association. Cheryl Labar, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. I should correct that. I'm a former executive officer for the Northland Area Builders Association.
Forgive me. Cheryl Labar, thanks
That's
so
okay.
much. And Scott Noble is joining us by phone as well. Scott is a social worker living in Westboro. He is also a former alderman on the Marshfield City Council. Scott Noble, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasures. Listeners, we want you to be part of this conversation. Again, the district we're talking about includes Rusk County, Sawyer County, Taylor County, along with parts of Clark and Marathon counties. If you've got a question for any of these folks on the program this hour, give us a call. The number is 800-228-5615. That number again, 1-800-228-5615. So I'll be throwing out the questions at random here, but first I wanted to get kind of an introduction, very briefly, why the legislature, why you. I'll start with you, Michael Bubb.
Well, why am I running is I've been involved in the Medford area for 28 years. I've been involved in local government for 15 years. I'm recently retired from Tombstone Kraft Nestle Pizza, where I designed handheld computer systems. But due to my community involvement, I just think that I bring people together. I think I can find real solutions to real problems. When Mary Williams announced that she wasn't going to run, I had recently retired, like I said, this past August, and I thought this would be a great opportunity for me to take my experience, my ability to bring people together to find solutions to problems, and hopefully I can do that in Madison and represent the people of the 87th District.
All right. Cheryl Labar, how about yourself? You've run before. Why run again for Mary Williams' seat?
Well, I've been very good friends with Mary for many years and have helped her on many different campaigns. I also obviously was in the redistricting. I am now in the 87th.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a small business owner. I know what it takes. I am a very kind of a full-force kind of gal, and I've been a voice for the Northland for 10 years. I've also been very, very active in my community and raised money for many different charities. I am just an avid business owner who knows what it takes to make the bottom line. I also do bookkeeping on the side for many small businesses around here, and we live in a tough area. Last winter was a really tough winter for us, and the last couple have been very tough. So I know what it takes to help businesses in the Northland, and I know I sit on Wisconsin Manufacturers of Commerce Small Business Committee, go down to Madison quarterly for those meetings. I meet with business leaders from across the state, and it's interesting to find out that we all struggle with many of the same issues. So I know taking my business smart sense to Madison would be a wise decision for the Northland.
All right. Now let's next go to James Jimmy Boy Edming. Why are you taking another stab at legislature? You've run a few times yourself.
Yes, I've run. I run three times in this same district for the state senate, and was defeated on all three of them. And when this seat came up, I decided I'm going to take another crack at it. And but where I come from is my grandfather John Edming was not the first man to come to Glen Flora, but he came to Glen Flora and stayed here in 1886. So my roots really, really run deep. Mm-hmm. I have been a resident of this district for 68 years, with the exception of the times that I was in college and when I taught school at Osseo Fairchild. I have been in business. I've started several businesses. One of them was Edming Oil Company in Glen Flora. That's been going now for 42 years. I started another pizza business that was called Jimmy Boy Pizza. And I sold that now about 9 years ago. It's called Oven Works Pizza. So if you want to see what I can do with food, just try yourself an Oven Works Pizza, because that's an old Jimmy Boy. But being in business for 42 years, I think I've run into every kind of a problem that you could humanly possibly run into and survived them. And I'm ready to go to work. So,
all right, thanks very much, Jimmy Boy. And Scott Noble, why are you running for legislature? What do you, as a candidate, offer that that the others might not?
Well, I'm different than all the others. I guess that's the main thing. I'm a constitutionalist. I want to get back to freedom, liberty, the Constitution. And I've been involved in Republican politics for many years. I was at the state convention, and so I get involved in the resolutions and rules and platform, that kind of thing. And so I'm very involved within the party trying to expand the freedom message. And that kind of leads me to my slogan, which is freedom is a noble pursuit. My background, I was, like you mentioned, on the city council. So I've dealt with local municipal budgets. I've been, you know, I work as a substitute teacher, and that was one of my campaign promises I've made, is that I'm going to be substitute teaching in every school district in the 87th Assembly. So if any of those districts will have me, I'm going to be available at least, want to do it one or two times throughout the next 2 years, mm-hmm. so that I can get into that particular community and, you know, teach and also maybe have a forum or a listening session that evening, you know, somewhere in that particular community.
All right, very good. And with that, let's just jump into the questions. And I guess I'll start with you, Scott Noble. Unemployment. Part of this district includes, of course, Sawyer and Rusk counties. They've got some of the highest unemployment rates in the state. And when you put them all up on a list, just more than 8% in Sawyer County. And in Rusk County, unemployment is at 7%. I need specifics. We hear a lot of, you know, we need to get jobs done, a lot of generalities, but what specific thing or things could you do to improve these regional numbers as a representative from the 87th District?
Well, we got to start getting away from the Milwaukee-style, southeastern Wisconsin type of decision-making regarding things that affect the North. We've got to get jobs. I see poverty. I see hunger. Record lines going you know, way out into the street for food pantries. I was just at a church yesterday that in Gilman that actually hands out 14,000 pounds of food a month. So we know the hunger. We know the poverty. We need to get jobs in the North. And the decision-making coming out of a lot of our legislators that are following the southeastern Milwaukee-style politics is not working. We need to pass legislation to have some new ways to create jobs. And I would suggest that we need to get into industrial hemp farming. We need to get into possibly hops farming in the agriculture industry. I think we should get into farm fresh food. We need to look at fresh milk being sold on the farm. If we have farm-fresh options for milk, that would put us on the you know, number one spot instead of California. The way it's set up now in the agricultural industry, especially specifically to dairy, I'm a history teacher, so if you look in history of the milk business, the subsidies for milk are all based on how far you are right from Eau Claire. You know, right where you're sitting probably in that studio, from there is where all the subsidy based on how many miles you are from Eau Claire. So the lobbying is extremely high to keep the lobbies and the subsidies to go all the way to California, all the way to Texas, all the way to Florida, all the way to New York. And pasteurized milk is not about health and safety. It's about keeping out the small family farmer.
All right. With that, let's go to our other candidates. Now I'll go to Cheryl LaBarre. What kind of specific things can you do to improve the unemployment rate in your own county?
Well, first I want to make sure I address a couple of things. The hemp farming was talked about before by Senator Petrowski, that the legislation looked at that before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not going to produce enough jobs in the area. The Northland is a very unique area. We all know that. The tourism where I live is very different than the tourism is in Russ County, and very different than what it is in Medford and Taylor County and all the other counties down in the south. I noticed that ginseng farming has become very large in the Marathon area, and I've talked to many of those farmers. And also, the mining issue. The mining issue to me has been a backyard issue. I'm about an hour and 10 minutes from where the actual iron ore mine will go, which will produce 750 jobs in an area like in this Sawyer, Rusk, Iron, all these areas around here, all these counties. Now, Iron County, granted, is not in the 87th district, but you will get fallout from that. I run a plumbing business in Hayward. We know we'll get a fallout from that. We've seen the economy go down. We've gone through the hard times up here. My husband and I have tightened our belt beyond what you could possibly imagine, along with many other people. I've seen businesses close. I've seen friends move to North Dakota because there's jobs there. There's no jobs here. And so we have to keep moving forward. We have to make sure our environment is clean. We have to make sure the water is taken care of. And we have to make sure that we produce those jobs. And those are they are family-sustaining, producing jobs. And that is what can help the Northland tremendously with jobs. That is a definite. The law has already been passed, and they are drilling, exploring, and it looks really good. So I would be full force in following in Mary's footsteps on that. And I will continue to work. One of my big ideas is to have an ad hoc committee with city council, mayors. I've talked to mayors across the area. I've talked to county board members. I've talked to school district. I've talked to hospital administrators. Just having an ad hoc committee meet once a quarter and take the Northland's voice down to Madison, because many times they think North is where you are in Eau Claire. Hmm. Well, that's not. We are much further north than Eau Claire. And that tells me that they don't hear our voice many times, because really, when you look at the district, it's very large. And it's because of the population. So it's very difficult sometimes to hear the voice of the North. So that's really what I want to take down there, is to continue to fight for the Northland and to fight for the good-paying jobs that we deserve up here. And it's fascinating to me that Wisconsin has three of the largest mining manufacturers in the world, and yet we have not one mine. Hmm. You know, we have these Sacfran mining now, but we have no iron ore mine, and this mine is going to be watched by everyone. Everyone across the world will watch this mine. There is not going to be anything that these people can do that is not going to be on the straight and narrow line.
All right. So, thank you for that. Michael Bubb, unemployment rate 7% in Russ County, 8% in Taylor, a little better in Sawyer, 8%, Russ County, 7%, a little better in Taylor and Marathon counties and Clark counties. But what would you do? What can one person do in the legislature to help lower that regional unemployment rate?
Well,
sorry about that. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, because Eric wasn't on there. I think there's a number of things that can be done. Some are being done right now. I think the mine, the bill that Mary Williams was the chairman for, was a good step in the right direction. And like Cheryl said, the bill is passed, and now we need to make sure that the laws are followed. I'm sure there's going to be some people that are going to want to delay things and slow things down, but we need to keep, you know, following the bill that was passed. But some other things that I really think they better do. The University of Wisconsin has a department that's looking at different ways to use lumber. Northern Wisconsin has a renewable resource, lumber. and we need to start making so that lumber can be used in different ways and maybe ways that we don't even imagine today, and that can open up global markets for us. So I think part of the thing we have to do is what products can we generate that we don't generate today that will create long-term, long-lasting jobs? The other thing, and the one thing that I've done, I've been in all five counties of this district, and I've been talking to people, talking to business owners, and the frustration with government regulations, government forms, government policies, things, you know, businesses are afraid to grow because they don't know what their taxes are going to be. They don't know what their health care costs are going to be. So part of it is that I think we have to streamline the process to get government, state and federal government, off the backs of small business owners. More jobs come from small business owners than anything else, especially in central and northern Wisconsin. We have to promote the growth of small businesses. And I think by getting small businesses together, asking them, what can we do as a representative? What can I do for you in Madison? What can I change for you in Madison? Will make a big difference so that we can make those changes so they can start to grow their businesses, so they can start to hire the people back that they used to. There's just way too many empty storefronts in every community that I've been in. If it's Medford, Gilman, Ladysmith, Hayward, there's too many empty things. We have to start helping people to get their businesses going again, and we got to do it quick.
Jimmy Boyadming, unemployment regionally, what can a state legislator do? And do you have any ideas beyond what's been expounded on by the other candidates?
Well, first off, the name of my campaign is A Bright Future for Wisconsin. And I think if you look at what Governor Walker has done with job creation, bringing companies into the state of Wisconsin, giving tax incentives to businesses that come here and tax incentives to businesses that stay here. One that has just popped up in Rusk County recently is the frac sand over in Weyerhaeuser, paying fantastic wages. And that's some of the things that we have to do. But the one thing that I can take to Madison, I think to better answer your question, is mm-hmm. I will do what I do best, and that's to create jobs. I've done it for 42 years. I've hired people. I've fired people. I've had to let people go that I didn't want to let go. If there wasn't enough money in the checkbook to balance my own checkbook, I go without a paycheck. And in Madison, things have to go the exact same way.
All right, and with that, I'm going to follow up, and I'm going to start with you, Jimmy Boy. Mining is a controversial issue here in western Wisconsin. Sounds like we might have lost Cheryl. In western Wisconsin, frac sand mining is very contentious, and up north you've got the contention of the iron mine. How do you balance the concerns that people have with the need to get more jobs in the region?
Well, we have to draw a happy medium. The right has to come together and meet the left. And it's like with the frac sand, the DNR has regulations on them for groundwater, and they're under heavy, heavy restrictions on that. Matter of fact, in Ladysmith, we had the Kennecott mine in Ladysmith.
Right.
They left more stuff in the ground than what they took out. They just got tired of fighting with whoever they were fighting with, the politicians and the environmentalists and whatnot, they walked away. And I think I think that the right has to meet the left and come up to a happy medium, find something that they can both agree upon. The good Lord put that sand down there, he put the copper down there in a Kennecott, they put the up in Ashland. We have to find a solution. And I'm not a politician. I'm a problem solver. And if we can solve the problem with this, Wisconsin's going to be much better off. But you need legislators that have been in business and have run into these different obstacles on a personal level, and that's where I come in at.
All right, Scott Noble, I'm interested to get your take on the iron mine and the controversy around frac sand mining as well. With the iron mine, you know, you've got a big group of people within the district, the LaCourtier, Lakota Ray Band of Lake Superior Chippewa that are vehemently opposed to the iron mine. How do you balance, or do you think it needs to be balanced, the concerns about the mine, the environmental impacts, with the promise of upwards of 1,000 jobs? Are you there, Scott? All right.
You might have got disconnected like I did.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. How about you, Shirley Labar? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, we have to try to work with everyone within the guidelines. And I also think sitting down and talking about it openly, and that's part of the problem, is we haven't been able to do that. There's so much heat on it right now. And it's unfortunate that the Native population feels that it's a strike against them. And I think they're trying to save the land, and I understand that. Believe me, I live here. I bike here, I hike here, I boat here. I do all kinds of things here with my family. We go fishing, we hunt, we snowshoe. We love the area. I love the area. It's not going to devastate the area. What it's going to do, the reclamation process is beautiful. For every 1 acre of wetlands, 1.5 has to be reproduced. I think that's a pretty good deal. There, iron ore mining is going on in Minnesota and in Michigan, and it's going on very well. And this mine, like I said, has been fought and struggled for such a long time that there just seems to be no reason to hold back when we have the proper law. And the water is going to be watched. The air is going to be watched. This is going to be one of the largest following and people watching it and monitoring it. There's 14 agencies they have to go through to get the okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we're not going to have agencies watching it. So myself, I think we have to work across the line, but I also want to expand, too, that I don't think that's the only thing to bring jobs up here. I just think that that's one of the largest opportunities for us at this time.
Yes,
there are small. I am a small business owner, and as a small business owner, I know what it takes to create jobs. And I can tell you right now, it's tough. There's nothing out there for us right now. And people are moving out of here in droves, moving to North Dakota instead of staying here. And we've got to find opportunities for those people. My husband and I, we can't hire anyone right now. We don't know the healthcare situation. So everyone's afraid. When I go around and talk to business owners, and I'm very good friends with many of them all over the place, and we talk, and much of the talk is about that. So, but I do think with the Lakota Ray Ojibwa tribe, it's just sitting down and talking to them. And I have not reached out to them lately. I have some really good friends that are Native. I have a woman that is totally the opposite of me as far as political. Mm. But her and I are very, very good friends, and we talk openly about it. And she says there certainly has to be, Cheryl, a medium. They can't just want everything, and we can't just want everything. And so, you know, we've got to come to this agreement and talk. And I live within this community, so I know many. My husband and I both have tons of friends that are Native. So I think that's what it takes, is being able and willing to sit down and talk.
Right.
And I've sat before the tribal council before, and it's an interesting process, and I respect them to the utmost. I truly do.
Thank you for that.
I'm from Cherokee, for goodness sake.
I'd like to go to Mike Bubb. How do you balance? Where's the balance between environment and concerns about people that are worried about the water quality, you know, at the iron mine? Also, you've got concerns about dust around the sand mines. How do you balance that with the lure of employment, good-paying jobs?
Well, first of all, you know, is that I think the process that people are going through to, you know, when they pass these bills, there were lots of hearings, there was lots of discussion. You know, part of what I'm not sure that happened is if there was much listening going on. You know, and I think that one of the things that has to occur for us to balance this is that we need to start to listen to people, and we need to find a way to go forward, because we need to go forward. We can't keep just saying, well, we can't. We have to go forward. You know, there were two bills introduced in the state legislature this past year for rules about frack mining.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them stalled and died because they were bad bills. They weren't listening to people. You had people writing them in a conference room instead of talking to people that they were going to be impacted. I honestly believe that if you work together, that if you sit down and talk to people, you start finding where's their common ground, and then you work from there to see what solutions are out there. I did because, okay, I'm new to parts of this district, so I went out to the tribal council, and I sat down and talked to them. And are they upset about the mine? Yes. But as we talked and we started a conversation, and they realized that I was there to listen as well as to give my point of view, you know, we started to find a couple things that we had in common. And I really think that the way we solve these problems, because we need to bring these jobs to Wisconsin, we need growth. We need growth up north, is that we have to work together. When I worked at Tombstone, we were a $100 million company when I started there. We had 110 sales reps. We were in 11 states. I was part of the most amazing growth of a small town company. We ended up being a $2 billion pizza company. Hmm. But a lot of it was we had to go to different parts of the country and solve ways to do business. Believe it or not, the way you sell pizzas in Medford, Wisconsin, the way you sell them in Atlanta, Georgia, are not the same. You have to solve problems. And the way you solve problems is you work with people, you talk to people, and you find a solution. And I think the answers to the mine and to the frack mining is that we start listening to each other and we find common ground. And then we say, okay, look, this mining bill is passed. What do we do now? Let's follow the law. Let's make sure all the regulations, you know, I think Cheryl said there's 14 agencies that it has to go through. Let's go through the steps. But let's make sure that people aren't blocking it either. We got to keep things moving forward. And that's what I would do in Madison, is that I would try to get people to work together so we can move forward to get jobs in Wisconsin.
Thank you. Scott
can
Noble.
Can I respond to one thing?
Cheryl, sure. But then we need to get to Scott Noble.
Sure. Well, I just wanted to make sure that it was made clear that there was a lot of listening that went on. I sat through every single one of the legislative committee meetings, and there were 10 hours in Hurley. There were 12 hours in West Isles. There were hours and hours and hours. Madison, hours. So there was a lot of listening that went on. I just think that some people were just adamantly against it. I mean, I saw signs that said, there will be no mine. So there were adamant against it and adamant for it. But there is a middle ground.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what we have to work with.
Yeah, I think no matter what you're talking about, there's always going to be people that are going to be have their opinions are going to be unchangeable. Scott Noble, are you there?
Yes.
All right, Scott. How about yourself? We've got a big contingent of people up in Sawyer County that do not want an iron mine. A lot of people are concerned about frac sand mines. Where's the balance between the concerns and the prospect for employment?
Well, it's good that we bring up the Lakota Dree tribe. My background is actually in Indian child welfare, and I had clients on my caseload that were up in that area. And when you work in Indian child welfare, you know, you have to really get into Native American history and to understand, you know, some of the perspectives. And one of the main perspectives that Native American tribes use is they make decisions that affect seven generations in the future. So when they think about something, they don't think about, you know, hey, how's this going to affect us right now? They want to figure out how it affects the future, you know, our children, our children's children, our children's grandchildren, you know. How are we going to make decisions that affect our lives for the long term? And that's where some of the folks around Rusk County and around, actually just anywhere I've talked to, they're concerned with making sure that we're taking care of our air, taking care of our land, taking care of our water, and our wildlife. I mean, this is one of the areas I've heard so many complaints about. The Department of Natural Resources, I'm calling for an audit of the DNR. I mean, we need to reform the DNR. There's so many things that are just not following our mission statement. Now, with regard to the mine, there was some meetings up, you know, in the north, but most of the decisions and meetings and hearings were in the southeastern part of the state. And so this is where an area of weakness right now that we have to work on, and we have to get people having the opportunity to speak that are in the 87th Assembly District. And one of the things that I've brought up as a campaign promise is I have an office that I'm using for campaign purposes right now in Ladysmith, right on the corner of Highway 8 and 27. And I want to make that the Northwoods Legislative Welcome Center. I want to be able to have hearings, be able to have listening sessions, be able to actually discuss issues that are affecting the North right in the North and in the center of the district. I mean, you have to pretty much go through there to get anywhere in the 87th. So I thought it'd be a perfect spot to have these types of discussions. Now, with regard to mining, we talked about North Dakota. And one thing about North Dakota is it's not all about mining that that state is doing well. They also have, back in, I think it was the early 1900s, they instituted a State Bank of North Dakota. And that's something that Wisconsin needs to look at. We need to look at a State Bank of Wisconsin so that local municipalities, school districts, do not have to borrow from Wall Street bankers, that don't even have the money to begin with. They just, the school district of Medford, will sign their name, and then they just create it. And it just becomes part of this inflationary system that is so hard on people in the north. And the way to resist that is to actually look at the institution of a State Bank of Wisconsin so that public utilities and municipalities, school districts, townships can borrow money from themselves. And also with mining, if I can make one more point, is when I was on the city council, we looked at the very first frac sand mine in the area. And I didn't even know at the time, in 08, what's frac sand? I had to really hit the books and hit the internet and really get up to speed. And it takes a lot of water to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we just didn't have the water to offer them. I mean, I'm a business owner as well. We have a business incubator building, and it actually housed the very first frac sand mine company. They were called Texsand at the time, and then later became Completion Industrial Minerals. So I dealt with them, as a customer, as a tenant. But then also I had them on the city council, and we were trying to make decisions, and, hey, how do we get this done? Well, we don't have that kind of water. So what we looked at was using effluent, which is wastewater. And the city actually sells the wastewater to the frac sand company, and they clean it and they use it. So it's a very sustainable program. So I think the key is here is we don't want to, in the Northwoods, it's so tempting to use our precious resources because they're so plentiful. But we have to use that Native American perspective, like the LCO, and make decisions seven generations into the future.
All right.
With
that, let's take our first break. We've got a caller on the line. I want to get to them in just a bit. Don't mean to cut you off, Scott. We just got to keep things moving along here. Okay. The number to call in is 800-228-5615. This is the Westside 87th State Assembly Primary Candidate Forum. We've got Republican candidates Scott Noble, Cheryl Labar, Jimmy Boy Edming, and Mike Bubb on the show. You can call in, ask them direct questions. Again, the Sawyer County, Taylor County, Russ County, along with parts of Marathon and Clark. That's the district. That's if you're in the area, give us a call. 800-228-5615. We'll be back in just a bit with more from our candidates. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're having a candidate forum this hour for the 87th State Assembly primary. The 87th Assembly District includes Russ County, Sawyer County, Taylor County, along with parts of Clark and Marathon counties. The seat has been held for many years by Mary Williams, a Republican in Medford, and now she's retiring, so it's being contested by five candidates. Today we've got four of them on the show, the Republicans that are up again in the Republican primary. The candidates are Mike Bubb, James Edming, Jimmy Boy Edming, as he likes to be called, Cheryl Labar, and Scott Noble. The number to call in is 800-228-5615. We've got our first caller on the line, and we're going to go to Willem in Colfax, outside of the district, but he's got a question about regulations. Willem, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Yeah, I do live outside the area there, but I do live in an area where there's a lot of frac sand mining, three or four, five mines within 10 miles of where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And the candidates had spoken to the fact that there are laws in place and that the DNR, with its regulations and all that, that's adequate. But I don't think it is adequate because they have ruled that they can't rule. They can only permit one high-capacity well at a time. They can't take into effect the cumulative effect of a number of high-capacity wells. So I think that's a problem. And then they don't have the staff nor the directive to really monitor this industry the way that it needs to be. There's more than 120 mines in Wisconsin right now. The DNR asked for 10 people to monitor that,
mm-hmm.
and they got two people to monitor that. Plus, in Eau Claire County, there was a frac sand company that drilled two unpermitted high-capacity wells that the DNR found out about later, that they were supposed to have two and they drilled four. The fine was $52,000, which is really a chump change to them. And then the number of jobs, if this was really a booming opportunity for the state of Wisconsin, then I would say that the village of New Auburn, which is surrounded by these mines and a rail transfer plant, should be a boom town, and it isn't. I mean, these facilities don't attract neither residents, young people, or businesses. They become a blight on the land, and I think they really exclude economic activity more than they create it. So, and the head of the DNR is a real estate developer with no background in natural resource protection. So this notion that the DNR is adequately protecting the citizens of Wisconsin, I think, is just not factual.
Thanks so much, Willem. I'll let the candidates respond. I'll go first to Mike Bubb, because you were mentioning about talking about regulations and regulations being kind of in the way of businesses expanding and all that. What about Willem's concerns that, you know, the laws that we do have in place, the agency we've got, might not be doing the job?
Well, I have some real issues with the DNR. The DNR somehow, over the years, got this power where they can write administrative code. And all of a sudden, that administrative code becomes law, not passed by the legislature, not signed by the governor. Now, there's a review committee that the legislature is supposed to go before.
And the governor has a new law that that he gives final approval.
A new law, but the previous
ones
did not. So I think that's a step in the right direction, because the problem is there's no accountability. So what Willem is saying is true in many ways, is that you have people doing things and it becomes a political agenda instead of worrying about that community and those natural resources and the future. But we also, you know, we just can't ignore jobs. And that's where I think, you know, is that the problem with the two laws that were proposed this past year is there wasn't enough input from the local townships, the counties, and the villages. There's concerns about the roads and how are we going to, you know, the roads are being used by heavier equipment and they're starting to fall apart, but the counties don't have the money to pay for them. So this issue just gets a lot bigger, you know, and as I say, is that, you know, I'm you know, shocked that, you know, it seems so easy. Why couldn't you have time to sit down with the people in New Auburn and say, what are your concerns and what are your problems, and let's work on an agenda to fix them? And again, there's got to be a balance, because you have people that are just yes and no to the extreme on each side. We got to find that ground in the middle. But I would agree with them. I do not think the DNR is doing their job here right now.
What about you, Jimmy Boy?
Well, this is a an issue, and I thank Willem for asking that. Matter of fact, last week I was over in Weyerhaeuser and was at Barney's Grocery and talking to Virginia. And she said, you know, Weyerhaeuser was becoming an absolute ghost town. There were homes in the town that were sitting vacant. And she said, now, you know, the homes are being filled up. They're buying groceries. The convenience store in town, I believe, put in two new diesel fuel pumps, so they could take care of the trucks coming in there. Anything that, and I wish I could remember the name of the trucking company that's doing it. But I mean, on Highway 8 over there, it's just sand trucks up and down that road, and these folks are all paying gas tax. You can see enterprise at its finest in a little town of Weyerhaeuser, up in northwestern corner of the Russ County. Mm-hmm. And I'm just proud of the fact that Weyerhaeuser has that, and we have jobs going up there, and these are good paying jobs. There's people from Glen Flora that are driving bulldozers and whatnot in that, and these guys are just, if it wasn't for their ears, their smile would go right around her head. I mean, it's yes, there are concerns, and I am concerned about that, but like I say, with what I see going on with the Walker administration and some of the, and a lot of this stuff, I love it.
All right, Shirley Barr, your take.
Well, I believe Weyerhaeuser is doing fantastic. Also, I have talked to people down there, and they're very, very pleased that they have the job opportunities. Matter of fact, there was a couple of kids from Hayward that ended up going to work down there.
Job opportunities are good, but what about concerns that the DNR isn't?
I think we do have concerns about the roads. The DNR, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the comment made about Kathy Stepp, she did serve as a senator for 4 years. She also has been a business owner for a very long time. So I think that was kind of an unfair blow that she was a real estate developer. That was not. She worked for a company, and she was a business owner. She worked for a trucking company, and I've known her for many, many years. I believe she's very accessible. I know that you can reach her. I know that you can reach the DNR. If you're dealing with local people DNR, sometimes that can be it can be difficult, but there are steps you can take. And I think that was just an unfair blow. Now, for somebody that lives in Colfax, I understand. It's probably very frustrating that you have dust and issues like that. I don't know if the noise is an issue. I'm not sure. But there are steps to go. You go to your county board members and you say, look, what can we do? And that's why I talked about an ad hoc committee. And, you know, then that legislator becomes that person that they contact. And you go through that. As far as the DNR, you know, I've heard things here and there about it, but honestly, over the last few years, it's calmed down quite a bit.
Yeah.
So myself, I can't really say that I have a huge complaint, but of course, I don't live where there's a frac sand mine. But I'm really looking forward to living where there's an iron ore mine.
And Scott Noble, you know, what about the concerns that the DNR might not be, you know, they might be a little hamstrung as far as actually protecting the environment versus protecting the right of a business to get a permit?
Well, this goes back to my, you know, we need to reform the DNR. You know, that's what I've been talking about. I'm probably the only one talking about that, you know, specifically. Let's audit the DNR.
What do you think you might find?
Their mission statement. They're supposed to be protecting our environment. It's been hijacked by money. This is a money game. And the structure of the DNR is essentially the same. Yeah, Kathy Stepp is at the top, but it's the same as it ever was. Way too powerful, and it does not follow the mission statement, which is to protect our environment, our natural resources, our air, our land, our water, our wildlife. They make decisions based on data. I'd like to look at the data. Let's make sure that the data that we're using is good and we're making good policy decisions based on good data. Now, with regard to the question from Willem, high-capacity wells are a very big concern. And here's one of the problems. The legislators that we currently have in there over the last however many years have taken away, this goes back to early 2000s, have taken away the ability of local governments to make decisions. And they feel there's, you know, senators, assembly people, I won't go into names, but they're people that have been in there for way too long, which is probably also part of our problem. I'd like to support term limits for that reason. But some of the legislators have been in there for that long have taken away the local ability to make decisions regarding high-capacity wells. And the reason that they do that is so that the state can run it. And they say that's because the state knows better. And, of course, the state is the Department of Natural Resources. So this Department of Natural Resources is way too powerful and way too against local control. So we see this problem down in Stetsonville, not far from where I'm sitting right now. I've talked to people there. They just are worried about the water. For an area that, you know, a population like Little Black, that area, you don't normally have to have a city water system, but that area does. And, you know, I mean, they cannot drill in their land. And they tell me, they say, you know, my land is really not worth anything. I can't drill a well in it. You know, so, I mean, we have to be very concerned about our water and specifically water pollution. And then the use of high-capacity wells, there's times when you get a permit and then it ends up being double that amount. You know, it's like we have to make sure that we don't suck all these you know, beautiful resources right out of the ground without knowing that this affects future tourism, our environment. I mean, up north, we make a lot of money. We sell fun. I mean, there are job concerns, but we don't want to take away our environment, which is, you know, it's the lifeblood of the economy. You know, there's other things that we do, but these things are what keep us going.
Mike Bubb, you'd like to respond?
Well, yeah, I'd like to just comment a little bit about the high-capacity wells. It was Stetsonville that put in a water system, and that had to do, it's the soil, and there was some contamination there. And so that was a big concern. But for the folks in Little Black, there's a proposal for a very large dairy farm, and they've done some well testing. And there are huge concerns because when they pump the water with this high-capacity well and the soil nature that we have in Deer Creek, that's, you know, 7 miles from my house, mm-hmm. There are some big concerns. And I absolutely agree is that with the high-capacity wells, there has to be local input, because if somebody installs these wells and then the farms that have been there and then and the people that live there, now they start to lose their water, there has to be protection for them. Somebody's family farms have been there 100 years. We can't just have the water disappear. So I, too, would agree that we need some local control on the high-capacity wells.
With that, we've got...
Go ahead, Scott. On the Little Black. Yeah, Little Black is actually the... You know, they're looking at the large, concentrated, animal feeding operation. And it's the city of Sethville that actually had, the city water utility. But what I'm saying is this is all goes back to our problems with water in Taylor County and our problems with local control. And it's been taken away at the state level because they know better.
Gotcha.
What the leaders of, say, I talked over the Taylor County Fair. I got a chance to talk to a commissioner with Tom Little Black. And... You just said it does not make sense for Little Black. So what I guess I support is more local sovereignty at every level, be it state versus federal or local versus state. We need to make local decisions and have local power to do the right by the people.
Great. With that, we've got one caller on the line. We're going to go to them right after a quick break. We are running out of hour right now on the West Side. We've got four candidates running for the Republican primary, running in the Republican primary for the 87th State Assembly primary for the seat there that held by Mary Williams for many years. The candidates are Scott Noble, Cheryl Labar, Jimmy Boy Edmings, James Edmings, and Mike Bubb. The number to call in, 800-228-5615. Joan is on the line. We got her on the line. We'll hang tight, Joan. We'll be right back with you. This is The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to the West Side 87th State Assembly Primary Candidate Forum. We've got Republican candidates Mike Bubb, James, Jimmy Boy Edming, Cheryl Labar, and Scott Noble on the program with us this hour. If you've got a question, you can give us a call at 800-228-5615. I've still got a page full of questions that we got to somehow get to in the next 5 minutes or so. But with that, we've got a caller on the line, and we're going to go to her. Joan in Eau Claire, you're on the air. Thanks so much for the call. If you could be as brief as possible, we'd appreciate it.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I would be interested in how much research your guests have done on this iron ore mining company, GTAC.
Okay.
They have polluted before. Once the damage is done, the damage is done. This mining company, GTAC, was allowed to write this legislation for the mine. There's absolutely no way any of these candidates can guarantee that there would be no pollution. There's every possibility that it could happen.
Okay.
I don't believe that the DNR introduced legislation to take away local control. That was this Republican legislature that introduced bills to take away local control for salt mines, for any mines. Also, once there would be pollution, then our property values would be decimated.
Okay, Joan, thank you so much. Let me get to the candidates. I'll start with Jimmy Boy Edming. Thoughts on Joan's concerns? What kind of research have you done on the company itself, Klein Resources?
I have not looked into their business exactly. However, I don't think anyone can guarantee that there's going to be no pollution. I don't care if you're building a road or what you're doing. You're gonna have dust control. The concerns that she's talking about is exactly what we had up at Kennecott in Madison.
All right, thanks for that. And again, candidates, if you could be brief.
And Ladysmith. Ladysmith, I mean, not
gotcha.
Madison.
If the candidates could be brief, we're going to be closing up the show here in just a minute. Cheryl Labar, I'm curious. You've been involved in this discussion for a while. Have you done research?
I got into this back in 2010, and I have researched the company. Every company in mining, if you research any one of them out of Michigan or Minnesota, they've had some mishaps. GTAC is not some kind of evil entity, and... they did not write the bill. I beg to differ with that. And I just look forward to having the job opportunities. And I will make sure, if I am the next legislator, that the laws are followed and that, like I said, 14 agencies are going to be watching these people like no one before.
All right, Scott Noble.
Well, this is a problem. I guess the caller mentioned the Republican legislature, and I would agree. It's not the DNR that wrote it. I mean, it's Republican and Democratic legislators. I mean, you had, Senator Petrosky, Senator Lassa. They took away local control, and it made the decisions of the DNR, which, because they used the argument that they have the resources to make big environmental impact decisions. And we want to get back to the rule of law, and we want to have the ability for property rights, to be heard. So I support the right of the property owner in that they should have their, court proceedings and the ability to make sure that things are done right. Now, as far as who wrote the bill, it was heavily lobbied by an out-of-state company. And, that's just the problem that we're having. We want to have the local people, through their legislators, make these decisions. We have to have these meetings should be up north. I cannot believe that most of the meetings regarding this mine were down in southeastern Wisconsin.
All right, Scott, we only have time for one more. I want to give Mike time to respond as well. Mike, we're up against the end of the show. So your thoughts on the research you've done on Klein itself?
Well, first of all, as the mining bill was going, the hearings were going on, I did some research, and absolutely, they had some very good mines, and they had some issues, and I think that's been well documented. But I think one of the key things is that when you look at the mining bill, the standards for clean air and clean water were not reduced. Those were not weakened. They're in place. Now we need to follow them. We need to enforce them, and we need to protect the environment.
All right, candidates, I wish we had another hour or two for the discussion. Thank you so much. The candidates for this August 12th primary are Michael Bubb, James Edmund Sherlabar, and Scott Noble. Make sure you get out and vote, folks. It's an important election, as they all are. Thanks so much. Next week, we will have candidates from the 31st Senate District. This is The West Side.